And good morning to all of you, brethren. It is good to be with you again on the second day of convention. We are very, very privileged to be here, even though we are not there, to have the wonderful opportunity of connection. It's really an amazing thing. This morning, we're going to talk about perseverance. Brethren, these are strange times. I don't think any of us would have expected things to be happening the way they are happening 3 or 4 months ago. And yet here we are. So perseverance is a subject that kind of has a different flavor to it at this point, because the kinds of experiences that many of us are having are very, very different than normally. You know, the perseverance that we're talking about is all about being faithful. Being faithful to the calling. And this is unnatural. The call to a higher calling is completely out of sync with human thinking. And it's laughable, even by earthly standards. And so perseverance, what we find, is a very, very important aspect of making sure that we are faithful. Perseverance, brethren, and this is important to start with, perseverance looks very different depending on who you are. Perseverance looks very different depending on who you are. We'll develop that as we go. Our theme scripture is Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. And not only this, but we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. So what we're going to look at is how perseverance operates, what it looks like, and again, what it can be with us in different aspects of our lives, because we are so very different. What we're going to see are endurance and perseverance are kind of like twins. Okay, the words sometimes get interchanged. There's a subtle difference. We'll just introduce that subtle difference to you, and then we'll begin looking at the Roman scripture and developing the subject. Endurance, according to the dictionary, means permanence or duration, the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, especially the ability to sustain a prolonged stressful effort or activity. While perseverance, according to the dictionary, means continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. So endurance really is the ability to withstand, and perseverance is the ability to push through. You can't have perseverance without endurance. And you can't have endurance complete a task without perseverance. With that said, we understand that perseverance is crucial to the life of a Christian. In Romans, again, chapter 5, we're just going to read verses 1 through 5 as a kickoff point. Therefore, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pause. It's a simple fact. Justification brings peace with God. It's a very logical, clear-cut conclusion of scripture. Verse 2, through whom? Jesus. Also, we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of glory of God. Another fact, let's pause. God's peace brings his grace. So we have the fact of justification bringing God's peace, and God's peace bringing his grace. These two facts now enable our heart to engage, where perseverance comes into play. Verse 3, and not only this, but we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. The word for perseverance in scripture here is, the definition is Strong's number 5281. The definition is cheerful or hopeful endurance or constancy. And it's often translated patience. So one of the observations we want to make right up front is when the scriptures talk about patience, they're not just talking about holding your breath and waiting for something to pass. They're talking about the endurance under the stress and the moving forward. The word comes from Strong's 5278, which means to stay under, to remain, to have fortitude, to persevere. So we get the two kind of combined in one word, endurance and perseverance, combined in one word in scripture. So now, perseverance is only achieved by deciding in our heads and in our hearts to have it. It's a two-pronged decision. We have to think it through, and we have to essentially feel it through. So we first need a clear intellectual perception of the why for our need for perseverance. We've got to be able to see why we need it, and we'll touch on that in a moment. And then secondly, we also have to have that heart that's fully committed to that why. You have to see the why, and then you have to be committed to the why. It's very similar to the discussion we had yesterday regarding doubt. You see the why, you feel the why, and then we want to understand the how of how perseverance will come to be. So that's how we're going to frame our approach to perseverance. We're going to suggest that there are three kinds of experiences that stimulate the building of perseverance in our characters. The first kind of experience is trials and afflictions. These require what we're going to label is a personal and practical perseverance. So the first type of experience requires a personal and practical perseverance. In James 1, verses 2 to 4, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, the New American Standard says, endurance, but it's the same word as perseverance, and let endurance/perseverance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Our trials, our difficulties, our traumas beg for perseverance because we are called of Christ. It is in these experiences that we must, as Christians, realize that the reality of our faith with a long-term perseverance is the only way we can get through those experiences. The reasons for our trials and afflictions. Okay, we need to understand what the reasons are. We need to know the why of personal and practical perseverance. And the scriptures lay that out for us very simply and very clearly. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 and then verses 10 and 11. Hebrews 12, 7 is a powerful verse. It says, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom his father does not discipline? The word there for discipline, in the Greek English lexicon, it says the primary definition in the Greek English lexicon is the whole training and education of a child. So it talks about the moral and the social and interactive trainings of a child. So it is for the entire experience of learning that you, the scripture says, endure. It's the same root word for perseverance. It's for the experience of growing up that you persevere. And that's why God deals with you as sons. Verse 10, he disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. So we need to persevere to be able to grow up in Christ and to share in God's holiness. The growing up is the process. The sharing in God's holiness is the eternal end result. And then verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. And we all know this scripture, and we all know that sense of no trial feels like it's joyous. But understand the value and the power of the trial for our growth. It is for an end result. And you think about it from the standpoint, when you think of perseverance, there's lots of pictures in the world we can think of. A soldier going to boot camp is one of those things. Now, does a soldier go to boot camp so he can say, hey, I went to boot camp? No. The soldier goes to boot camp to say, I'm now a soldier. So the boot camp is what teaches and drives and develops and matures that individual from essentially boyhood to manhood, to soldierhood. We are going through our lives, and it's like boot camp. We're not going through our lives for the sake of saying, hey, I went through that, but it's for the sake of saying, I can now share in God's holiness. So we need to know the why of those personal trials and afflictions is to help us to grow up, to share in God's holiness. You want to feel what that why looks like of personal and practical perseverance. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. So we'll pause for a second. It's all good. Even if it doesn't look that way, if we are decaying and the inner man is growing, that's what we persevere to and through. And that's what it feels like. It's that diminishing, like we talked about yesterday, John the Baptist, I must decrease, he must increase. Same with us. 17 and 18. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Did you see that? Far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's far beyond all comparison. Do you feel the need for perseverance to get to that far beyond all comparison? Perseverance is inspired by a long view and a big picture of our experiences. The results of our trials and afflictions, as long as we apply perseverance, we've got to see where this why leads. What are the results? James 1:12. Blessed is the man who perseveres, that's the root word, under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Carry that developmental weight of experience until we complete it according to God's standard. And brethren, that's what this is about. It's about completing things according to God's standard. That's where we're going. That's what we're focusing on. How do we do this? That's the why. How do we do this perseverance thing through our trials, our personal trials and afflictions? And brethren, let me add at this point that the perseverance here may not be seen by anybody else. It may be just between you and your Lord. And that makes it no less valuable. But don't underestimate its need just because others may not see it. Okay? So the how of personal and practical perseverance through trial and affliction is attained by four things that are labeled for us in 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. The first thing is acknowledge our experiences. 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Acknowledge our experiences. Acknowledge that the fact that we're having the trials and the difficulties is so that we may be victorious. That's the reason they're there. You know, too often, brethren, we get confused in our own minds and we have too many doubts and we start to think, well, God must be punishing me. Well, maybe God is developing you. Let's think of it in terms of the development. Acknowledge our experiences are for our highest spiritual welfare. So second, decide. These are simple steps. Not easy to do, but they're simple to understand. Decide on self-discipline. Verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 9. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Decide that I am dedicated to this cause. I am dedicated through this trial so that I can get the victory that God has promised if I walk in Jesus' footsteps. The third piece, embrace training and practice. You know, this can be a hard one. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 9. Therefore, I run in such a way, not as without aim, but I box in such a way as not beating the air. The apostle is saying the exercise of my experiences is for a very specific focused reason. So, and the fourth piece, always keep the most important thing, the most important thing. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. The apostle is saying, just because I'm the one doing the speaking doesn't mean I am not subject to every single trial and temptation and tribulation that you are. And I have to have the same discipline and have the same end result in mind. I can't just say it. I must live it. So that's a view of personal and practical perseverance, understanding why and looking at how. Along with our trials and afflictions, we have a second kind of experience that develops perseverance. Now, brethren, this kind of experience, you may or may not have a lot going on, but it's persecution. Okay? Hebrews 12, 3 and 4. For consider him who's endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. So now we're looking at persecution. Persecution by virtue of its mere presence in our lives always presents a crossroad. We can go down the road of caving in, to the pressure or choose the high road. And that high road is driven by what we're going to call principled perseverance. So we had personal and practical perseverance for our personal trials and afflictions. In dealing with those around us in persecution, we got to call it principled perseverance. What is the why of principled perseverance dealing with persecution? 1 Peter 3:13-17. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Persecution for the right reasons brings blessing. They persecuted Jesus first, and we follow him, and Jesus told us that this would happen. And finishing off 1 Peter chapter 3, in the middle of verse 14, we just stop there. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that was within you, yet with gentleness and with reverence. So let's pause there for another moment. The secret for blessing from persecution lies in what our deepest focus is seeing. If we are seeing Christ in our deepest focus, then we will always be ready to give an answer. How is that possible? Because it may be beyond us, but God's grace intervenes on our behalf. Okay, now back to 1 Peter. We're moving through these quickly, brethren, because there's a lot to cover here. We're back moving through 1 Peter chapter 3 down to verses 16 and 17 now. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. How does that happen? Keep a good conscience. For it's better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what's wrong. Now look, just because we may be able to represent Christ and even win when falsely accused doesn't mean our conscience should be on autopilot. Persecution can spur that sense of wanting retaliation if we're not focused on Christ, because we watch his example and we saw how he allowed himself to be tormented, tortured, and murdered without a moment's worth of retaliation. We have to persevere, have that principled perseverance, because it's for that higher cause. Principled perseverance will only exist when we're rightly exercised by our experiences and learning before we're persecuted. So, brethren, if you're not being persecuted now, you say, well, I don't know when that's coming. Great. Take the time, take the opportunity, work on it. Work on your character so that you are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So when those things do come, you will be ready. Persecution faced without preparation. Persecution faced without preparation puts us in great peril. So if you're not being persecuted, brethren, take that opportunity and work hard. To feel the why of principled perseverance, let's go to Luke chapter 21, verses 16 through 19. Jesus' words, but you will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all men because of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, same word for perseverance, by your perseverance, you will gain your lives. So when we said perseverance is really, 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 really important to a Christian walk, you cannot be faithful without it. Jesus just told us that. When persecuted by those who are close, principled perseverance stands firm when standing solely for the name of Jesus. And brethren, our perseverance must be principled with the highest principles of spirituality for it to be valid in Christ. How do we do that? How do we do this? It's a fight. There's no question about it. Our perseverance finds its nourishment in the strength of God. Scriptures are very familiar to you. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God. Do you notice it doesn't say, get around to trying out the pieces to see they fit? It says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, because our struggle is against things that are complete, these things will crush us like a bug. Because the struggle is so big, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. Christian perseverance, this principled perseverance we're talking about, is the ability to withstand and move forward through adversity with cheerfulness. It's the practice of standing up and moving forward under the weight of circumstance, under the weight of evil and opposition, and with an undying hope that is founded and grounded in Christ, his sacrifice and the mission that he gave us to follow him. So very briefly, we have looked at personal and practical perseverance. We're going to reference, we won't read it in the interest of time, 1 Corinthians 10:13, in relation to our personal and practical perseverance, dealing with our trials and afflictions. We've just looked at principled perseverance developed through persecution. And again, we'll just reference John chapter 16, verses 31 to 33. Those are the two of the three types of experiences. We're going to spend the rest of our time examining the third kind of experience that develops Christian perseverance. The deeper we live in this next particular area, the deeper our perseverance. We're going to look at loyalty. The word loyal in the dictionary means unswerving in allegiance, faithful in allegiance to one's lawful sovereign or government, faithful to a private person to whom fidelity is due, and so forth. Loyalty is the key behind true principled perseverance and true practical perseverance in our trials and so forth. Where there is loyalty, there must, by definition, be perseverance. And so we're going to call this passionate perseverance. Passionate perseverance. To feel what the why of passionate perseverance looks like, we're servants of God with our physical being. So we're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 through 10. And it's going to, we're going to break it into pieces. It's going to give us an understanding of the why of this passionate perseverance. And again, I want to just state here, we'll come back to it, but perseverance looks different in each and every one of us. And just because someone doesn't look like they're as passionate as the next person doesn't mean they aren't. It simply means they express it in a different way. 2 Corinthians 6, 4 to 10, verses 4 to 5 to start. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God in much endurance, that's the same word for perseverance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. That gives you a sense to feel the why of this incredible loyalty that the Apostle Paul was sharing with us. He was saying, this is what it took of me. My loyalty brought me through all of these difficult things. That passionate perseverance and the hard physical experiences of life. So he gave us his experiences. He loaned them to us so we could feel what the depth of loyalty and therefore passionate perseverance looks like. To understand the why of passionate perseverance, the apostle continues and he begins talking about our spiritual minds. So he started talking about his experiences. Now he's talking about all of us. Verses 6 and 7. Of 2 Corinthians 6, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. He's reflecting his own experiences, but now this expands to us. Because frankly, we go back to those first couple of verses, most of us are not going to be in distresses and have beatings and imprisonments and tumults and so forth. But we do have purity and knowledge and patience and kindness and the Holy Spirit and so forth and so on. Paul's loyalty required this deep, passionate perseverance in the spiritually driven areas of his life. And he knew it. He knew that just because you're trying hard doesn't necessarily cut it. You have to have that loyalty that makes you plow through versus just trying hard. He, the apostle, tenaciously grew to spiritual maturity and was able to pass that on. And brethren, that's what we want to be able to do as well. Passion supports us through our personal and private experiences, as well as our persecution experiences, as well as our physical and spiritual experiences. So we need to lock into the passion that is attached to perseverance. And the way to find the passion is to sink into, and to absorb, and to embrace what it means to be loyal to Christ Jesus and to God through him. So how do we do this passionate perseverance? How does it work? Well, passionate perseverance looks very different, like we said, from saint to saint. But it's all the same to God. It all looks the same. It all looks like faithfulness. So the how of passionate perseverance. When we look to Jesus, we see him prophetically described as putting on his, and I'm going to put this in air quotes, his game face of passionate perseverance. Now, I don't know if you know what a game face is, but when in sports, when you've got the game, the competition, and the athletes come out, they're usually not just kind of joking around, especially if it's a big game. They have this seriousness on their faces because they are completely focused on one thing, winning this competition. And that's what the game face is that serious focus on overcoming whatever obstacle has been put in your way. This is well described for us in Isaiah chapter 50, verses 5 through 9, and it's a prophetic view of Jesus. It says, the Lord God, in Isaiah 50, 5 through 9, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. And then you get into where the game face really needs to be applied. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. To go through that takes loyalty. Loyalty brings this passionate perseverance. Verse 7, for the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I am not disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be ashamed. I have set my face like flint. In whatever dishonor man can give, what this prophecy is telling us is there is no disgrace for the God-honoring life. Even though the cutting or the plucking out of the beard amongst the Jews at that time would have been one of the deepest insults possible, he says, in spite of that, I have set my face like flint. And then verses 8 and 9 of Isaiah chapter 50. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has a case against me? Let him draw near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Behold, they will all wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them. You see the power of this? Jesus is saying, in it prophetically, speaking of Jesus, I should say, it's saying Jesus was stone cold focused on fulfilling the will of God and glorifying his Father. That was all there was. That's that passion that we're talking about. All falsehood, no matter how powerful, cannot stand against eternal truth and righteousness. Brethren, we all must persevere. We have to. But we all don't do it in the same way. Our unique experiences give us unique opportunities, and there are therefore many game faces of perseverance. This really struck me, the idea that there's different descriptions of what perseverance looks like. And the scriptures bear that out, okay? So I'm going to give you three scriptural game faces. And brethren, you probably fit into one of these three, okay? And the thing is that your perseverance won't look like mine, and mine won't look like yours, and that's okay, because we're modeled differently. First, the game face of a soldier is the face of one sworn to duty for a cause that he's willing to die for. We're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 through 7. And in these verses, it's going to show us different game faces of this loyalty and this passionate perseverance. 2 Timothy 2, 2 through 7, we're going to do 2 through 4 right now. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. It's telling us the game face of a soldier, sworn to duty for the cause that he's willing to die for, does not entangle himself in anything else. Perhaps your perseverance looks kind of like the game face of a soldier. The Apostle Paul doesn't stop there. Continuing in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he begins now to describe in verse 5, he's going to describe the game face of an athlete. And this is the face of discipline and focus. It's the face of training to compete and to win. 2 Timothy 2, verse 5. So also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Maybe your game face looks more like that of an athlete. Maybe that competition thing that says, I'm going to defeat the flesh, dedication to training and so forth, brings out the passion to say, this is the way I'm going to go and nothing can stop it. Verse 6 of these verses talks about the game face of the farmer. This is the face of patience, knowledge, hard work, and consistency. It's the face of steady discipline and compassion, the game face of the farmer. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Brethren, the point is, in these three different illustrations, each has their face set like flint, stone cold focused on accomplishing what needs to be done. But the way a farmer does it is entirely different than the way an athlete does it, which is entirely different than the way a soldier does it. And if you fit the description of the farmer, then God bless you in that perseverance, in that loyalty, that strength of patience and endurance to develop the crops through whatever the weather conditions are and to do whatever the work is. See, we always look at the soldier and the athlete and we say, oh, you know, I don't feel like I'm like that. Good. You don't have to be. The scriptures tell us your passionate perseverance, your loyalty to Christ can take on all of these different views. We go a little further, a couple of verses down in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And now the Apostle Paul shares his own game face with us. And that's the face of loyalty, example, hardship, and victory. 2 Timothy 2, 10 through 12. For this reason, I endure, that same word, that same root word, all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they all may also obtain the salvation which in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, there's that same word for perseverance, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. The Apostle Paul in these verses talked about this game face of loyalty. He talked about that our perseverance can only breed victory if we keep it focused on God above. He showed us how. And it's a wonderful experience to have the Apostle Paul as one example of an imperfect human being who had a lot of flaws that God called and helped to drive us. So we can see that perseverance comes in a lot of different ways. And brethren, the point is, whether most of your trials are personal, most of your experiences rather, are personal trials and difficulties, whether you have a lot of persecution or a little persecution, we all have the opportunity for loyalty to Christ, to God through Christ. And that loyalty will build us up through whatever the personal perseverance aspect is. Okay, so we need perseverance. Where do we continually go to revive our focus and our discipline on perseverance? Because this is the kind of thing that you need to refuel. You know, you drive your car. Well, we don't drive our cars too much anymore because of the circumstances. But you drive your car and you go a long ways and you have to refill it. And if you don't refill it, you can say, man, I got the greatest car ever. And it's drives smoothly and it's very comfortable and gets me where I want to go and it's very reliable. But without the fuel, it can't, it's worthless. It's just worthless as a transportation tool. So the transportation tool for our perseverance, first of all, look around you. We have the examples of the ancients to show us what overcoming looks like. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Again, verses we're very familiar with. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which doth so easily entangle us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us draw from the experiences of those who have gone before and say, they have shown me. They showed me overcoming in spite of odds. They showed me the ability to wait on the Lord. They showed me the ability to manage doubts. Second place we look is look to Jesus, the writer, the originator of Christian faith. Verse 2 of Hebrews 12, fixing our eyes, and that means focusing on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, making little of the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus embraced the joy of God before him, loyalty. This joy carried him through the horror of the cross, loyalty. This joy made light of the utter human shame put upon him, loyalty. This joy delivered him to the right hand of the throne of God, loyalty. All expressed through perseverance, all plowing through. It's one thing to endure, to withstand, but it's another thing to persevere and to move forward through the experience. Thirdly, look to God. First point is look up to him who is truly mighty and acknowledge his power and his wisdom. Isaiah 40, 26 to 31. We're going to break it up into several points. The first point, again, looking up. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. Can you imagine that? The vastness of the stars, calls them by name, has them in order. I can't even remember the names of my family. I get confused. He has got this incredible mind. You look up to him, the creator of all these things. That's the first place you go. Second point, look to his understanding, his way, and his perseverance, because they're eternal. God takes notice of all things. He takes notice. Verses 27 through 28 of Isaiah 40. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He never wears out. His perseverance is eternal, and he notices everything. Third point, believe that he is an endless power source compared to those in the prime of life and to those who are mighty in the eyes of men. God opens up spiritual perseverance to us. Verse 29 and 30 of Isaiah 40. He gives strength to the weary. To those who to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and the vigorous young men stumble badly. You understand that the example here is the top of the cream of the cream of the cream of the crop. The best of our athletes, the best of our soldiers, the best of whatever we've got, eventually get weary and they stumble and they fall. And in Isaiah, we're being shown that the very best example you can show us is all going to end up the same. You're going to stumble badly. So the fourth point in looking to God is to trade in your old source of strength and put on his strength, his perseverance. For it's only then that we can mount up with wings and not become weary. Verse 31, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. They will have that passionate perseverance, that loyalty. Why? Because they're not relying on human strength any longer. They're relying on the strength from God. They're changing the source of strength from human to spiritual, from faulty to eternal. That's how we find that passionate perseverance through loyalty. And brethren, finally, look to one another. Let's look to one another. Let's be willing to be vulnerable to one another in our attempts to persevere through the difficulties of trial. Romans, our final scripture, Romans 8, 37 through 39. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We must persevere through whatever it takes. It is a requirement for our faithfulness. The good news is that God, through Jesus, has given us the tools and the fellowship to be able to do that. Let us lay hold of what we've been given and persevere, persevere, persevere. May the Lord add his blessing.